praise God. So glad that you can join us for this Friday night podcast. We're one short of our normal crew today, but Julie and I are going to try to take up the slack. We are excited to talk about remnant things with you. And, you know, we've come to a place where it's almost like every single day there's something else that God is doing that's pointing the way, that keeps pointing the way, that's saying to us, yep, you can't see it, but the ark is there. The ark is there. Destruction is coming. The ark is being prepared. Keep moving. And it's exciting when these things happen and when they show up. And now might not be the time to get into these things, but as we move forward and God just keeps doing these supernatural things, it's every single day God is doing something in our lives, and we've been waiting for this moment. So we have an excitement because we've been here since the beginning when my dad would get up and he would stand and he would say, I might never see this. And he's gone. He would say, I might never see this, but God has spoken prophetically and promised me that one day there will be things here that God isn't doing anywhere else. And we're beginning to step into that. And it's exciting because not only is it starting to come to pass, but if a part of it is starting to come to pass, then we know that all the rest has to come to pass.
Right.
Because God doesn't start something that he doesn't finish.
That's right.
And so it's exciting, and I pray that if you're watching this podcast, that you feel that excitement and that you join with us in that excitement. So we, as we always do, you know, we come and we sit, and we, for whatever reason, we were even less prepared today than we normally were prepared.
I think it's just because we've been discussing everything so much of everything that's been happening in the last, and of course we were saying in the last week, month, 3 months, 6 months, just putting it into pieces.
Yeah. She literally has her notes here from several months. And she kept going further and further back. And she was saying, she just kept shaking her head saying, I hope people understand that there is no,
you can't manufacture this,
or group of people, or there's no one on this earth. There's nothing on this earth that can manufacture what God has done and spoken. She's been going back about a year now. Of course, we know it goes back even further, but specifically over this last year, what God has spoken and to where he has us now, you can't make up what God has spoken and what he's done. It's
just astounding. I keep meticulous notes. That's just my nature. I always have. And when I sit and just flip page after page after page and read what I've written down from just our various gatherings and then in between just the things that God's been doing on a daily basis, some of which have been shared and many of which have not been shared or spoken publicly for various reasons, we just sit and look at each other and shake our heads. God is moving and speaking, and we're just
amazed.
Astounded. It's hard to even put into words.
Let me just say something about what you just said. Most people, I don't know if anyone knows this about me, maybe except for you. But I'm not shocking anyone by saying I'm loud. There's no one louder than me, or very few people louder than me. I'm loud by nature. And if you're watching and you know me, you're not in great shock that I'm saying I am very, very loud. I can ramp it up fast. A lot of noise. But with that being said, don't mistake that for thinking I like to say everything. I'm just loud when I do talk. Most of what God speaks and most of what God shows, I either don't feel comfortable sharing or I'm not allowed to share. And I know people think, oh, well, you know, we want to know, but it's not my nature to be a loud mouth. I might be loud, but I'm not a loud mouth. I don't get up and just throw things out there. I don't want people, people coming just because I'm loud and can talk a lot.
Right.
I don't want that. There's a lot of huge ministries built on someone that is loud and talks a lot and blows a lot of smoke and sounds good. I don't ever want that.
Right.
I only want the remnant to hear the word of God when they're ready to receive the word of God. And when they're ready to believe and act on the word of God. But I just want you to know that what God is speaking in this special, historic, anointed heritage, it is unsurpassed. And I'm not saying that just, again, to blow smoke. I'm just saying it because we have the benefit of seeing everything and hearing everything. And Julie writes things down that I'll just whisper to her or say to her. I say, this is what God spoke. And the day is coming where everything's going to be unveiled, everything. And little by little, it's starting to be. I just want you to know that God is putting something together special. Very special with what this ark is going on here. And that kind of leads me to the first thing. We were sitting there just 2 or 3 minutes ago, and we were talking about our Wednesday night service. And I said, you know, maybe there's a couple of things from Wednesday night that I need to hit on again, just to kind of give a little bit further emphasis to. One of the things that I feel I want to maybe we could converse about it for a moment or two, but it's this idea of being exclusive. That word has become a four-letter word in the church world today.
Oh, you're not kidding.
It is as soon as people hear you say that word, they turn you off. But I'm telling you, this ark is exclusive that God is building here, and the remnant is exclusive that God is raising up. And I need you to understand that in the Word of God, from the beginning to the end, it preaches a message of being exclusive. And I want to make this clear, as I said on Wednesday, it's not exclusive because of something we do, or anyone would do.
Right.
It's not exclusive because of our greatness or because of anyone else's greatness.
Or on any grounds that other people may have, through history, been exclusive for a variety of different reasons.
It is exclusive because by God's decree, his eternal decree of holiness, holiness makes it exclusive. Mm-hmm. It is exclusive. I think this is the way I said on Wednesday, if I'm remembering right, because of the rigorous holiness that God expects from his people. That is why the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Because holiness weeds out. Holiness makes things exclusive. Holiness, by the rigorous holiness, and people say, well, you're preaching a law. No, first of all, I'm not. Number one, I'm preaching holiness. But number two, don't get me started on the whole idea. God still has a law. There is a law that runs and rules heaven. He is still the judge. There still is a law. It might not be the law of Moses we live by, but there's still a law. But setting that aside for a moment, I'm not talking about a law. I'm talking about holiness.
You're talking about what Jesus talked about over and over again. And when he said, deny yourself and take up your cross daily.
Daily. Well,
that's,
you
that's
see.
That's part of it. That's
And again, I can't get into everything I ministered on Wednesday, but the idea of holiness is actually not a list of things. It's not this list of I think you used the word, you can't codify it. Right. It's not some list of things that you can do. By its very nature, holiness means to separate. That's what it means. God would come to his people throughout history and say, separate yourself, consecrate yourself, separate. By his very nature, because God is the most holy, that means he is the most separate. He's the most separate. And if you don't understand what holiness is, see, most Christians conflate holiness with righteousness, and it's not the same thing. You are made righteous through the blood of Jesus so that you can then live holy.
Well, Paul said in to the Corinthians and to all of us, if you want to just take a little piece and say, okay, this is the message that God has for mankind, it could be this, where he said, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Started, yeah. Come out from among them and be separate. That's what Paul took those words and said, here, this is the crux of the matter.
Yeah, Paul was saying, you want to understand how to live before God? That's how you do it. He literally, Paul, for all those people that say, well, I only want to listen to the New Testament. Well, first, you know, to you. But for those people that want to start there, literally, Paul said, this is what everything is about. Come out away from them, because I want you to be separate. That is the word of God from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
And people throw out there and says, well, the Bible says go into all the world and make disciples, but that has nothing that doesn't change the fact that those disciples of Christ, of God, that are going to spend eternity with him, that he still expects them to come out and to be separate and to be different and to consecrate themselves and to live different, look different, eat different, everything different. He still expects that. And it is throughout the, it is everywhere in the word of God. Yes. You go read everywhere what Jesus said. It's amazing how every time you turn the page, he is saying something else along the lines of you have to go through the narrow gate. You have to get rid of your life. You have over and over and over again. And let's talk about the narrow gate for a minute. The narrow way, the narrow gate, it is the most discriminating. It is the most exclusive. The narrow way is what makes things exclusive. People start down that path, and eventually it gets too narrow for them. And God says, no, if you're going to be a part of my remnant, you've got to stay and go all the way through that narrow way. The narrow gate, the narrow way that we talk so much about, and I said this on Wednesday night, if you go and study it, it literally is talking about something that is so restrictive. People don't like that word, but so restrictive. Go study it. Go study it in the original language. It's so restrictive, it means that you have to, like, pull yourself through. One of the ideas of it is being like a gymnast that pulls, that has to work your way through something. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's not easy because God wants things to be exclusive. He wants a people that is separate. He always, for all of human history, Why do you think he put Adam and Eve in the garden?
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Because he wanted people
to say it.
To be separate. Do you think God just threw that out and said, oh, well, we, you know, people say things are different now. You think that, you know, I know the dates are not, but I'm just doing it just for the sake of talking. Do you think we hit year one in AD? Year one AD happened, and all of a sudden God's, all right, I'm different now. I'm different now. Everything is different. I don't want what I used to want anymore. But that's what people think. They think Jesus was born, and God just doesn't want, he doesn't want the same. Oh, God, I'm different now. Everything's different. I've wanted an exclusive, a separate people for thousands of years, but now I sent my son, and now I don't want exclusive people anymore. No, he sent his son to help us become exclusive.
Right.
I'm going to say that again because that was good. He sent his son to help us be exclusive. Do you know who the very first Jesus exclusive group was? It was the disciples. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was the disciples. They were the first ones. They were the first. I guess you can make the case that his family was the first one.
Right.
But his disciples, Jesus said to them, he said, I'm going to tell you things that I don't tell anybody else. Go read it. He even went so far as to say, talking about the religious leaders and people of that day, he said, this is from the word of God. He said, I'm going to close their eyes. I'm going to stop up their ears. So they can, because they've already gone far enough and they've shown that they can't do it. So I'm closing their ears and blinding their eyes lest they would turn. Why? Because God is looking for an exclusive people. And Jesus wasn't born all of a sudden and God said, all right, I'm changing my nature now. I don't want to be exclusive anymore. I want to be inclusive and it doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. It doesn't matter anything anymore. That's not what God did. So God is looking for an exclusive people. And people don't like that because if something is exclusive, that means that God expects something.
Right, right.
You can't be exclusive and not be different. Mm-hmm. He expects something. People don't like that, but let me tell you who doesn't like it even more. The spirits at work. Mm-hmm. They don't like it when people become exclusive. They start throwing names out and start trying to mark you with names that scare people. We've heard it all here. Mm-hmm. We've heard it all. We've been called crazy, weird, cultish, everything. But I take solace because they said all those same things to Jesus.
Right.
He's just a little Jewish cult that he's starting. That's what they said. He's just a little Jewish cult. That's what they said about him. So I'm appealing to you to understand the word of God. Because if you don't understand the word of God, I don't care how much Bible you read. I don't care how many hours a day you pray. I don't care how many people you feed. I don't care how many mission trips you take. I don't care about any of that. And if you're listening to me, you need to, and you believe what I'm saying, then you need to begin to tell people exactly this. It doesn't, you could do all of that all your life, but there's going to come a day where you're going to close your eyes and you're going to open them up, and it's not going to be where you think you're opening them up to. It's not going to be in the heavenly realm where you think. Jesus said there are few who find it. He said they're going to come and they're going to say, Lord, we ministered for you. Lord, we fed the hungry for you. We did miracles for you. Lord, we did all these things for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at them and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. So without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And you have to understand that holiness makes things exclusive. And if you're not willing to live exclusive, then I'll be honest, I don't know if you're going to be seeing the Lord. I need to make this clear before we move on. Let me make this clear. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. You, see, how do I want to say this? You, if you went back 100 years ago, 125 years ago, the message that I'm speaking right now,
it was central.
Listen, the revelation God is giving us is fresh and new, but the core part of it, 100 years ago, people wouldn't be shocked at hearing this message about exclusivity and things. They wouldn't hold this. They wouldn't sit there and say, wow, this is just out of left field. This is was at the core of people.
Right.
And because of this, 100 years ago, God allowed there to be what we call the healing, Pentecostal miracle movement in this country. He allowed it because there were people that understood this. But people, instead of running to it, as people do, they took it, abused it, ran away from it. Now you have a church that is so lost that God is now coming in these last days and says, destruction is coming. Destruction is coming, but I will find my people who will be upon the ark. I will find those people. That's why Jesus said, it will be like the days of Noah. I will find my people. Praise God. Praise God. There was something else from Wednesday night we wanted to talk on. What was it?
Well, it was just an interesting thing you brought up about, we're talking about trusting God, just trusting him wholly and completely and without reservation, even when you don't understand or see or even know what's going on. And you used the example of the manna in the wilderness and highlighting that the word, even the very word manna in the original language meant, what is it?
What is it? And
I thought that might be a good thing to discuss a little bit more.
You know, it's when you think about them walking out into the wilderness and God said, all right, I'm going to provide food for you. I'm going to bless you with food. And they walk out the first morning and they open their tents and they look out and they see all this stuff sitting kind of on top of the ground. And they're looking around. And this is literally what they said to each other. What is it? What is it? They didn't look at it and say, oh, manna from heaven. Oh, manna from heaven. You see, Christians do that today. They do that today.
Lord, give us the manna.
Give us the manna from. That's not what they did. They walked out of their doors and they said, what is it? Or in their Hebrew language, they opened their doors and said, manna? Manna? Manna, 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 manna? That's what they said, because manna means, what is it? Now, I might not be saying manna, right? Maybe it's manna or, you know, or I don't know. So if I'm not saying that right, forgive me, but you get the point. But, again, I'm not going to take the time to read it. But if you go and read where I read on Wednesday night, what God said to them was, as they were getting ready after 40 years of manna, as they were getting ready to go in, God didn't say to them, I'm going to continue the manna. What he said to them was, I used the manna to humble you, to test you, to see if you were ready for the greater things. To see if you were willing to get up every day and go get manna. Because as you know, in the Bible, it says you couldn't go gather a lot of it. You had to get just enough for that day. With the exception of the Sabbath, because God didn't want them working on the Sabbath. That's another story. But God didn't want them working on the Sabbath. And so he said, the day before, you go and get double so that you don't have to work on the Sabbath. They had to trust God even for their daily food. That puts into perspective when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It puts into perspective what he was trying to get us to understand was that God wants us living in such a way that we trust him even for our daily bread. And when we learn to trust him for our daily bread and we learn to say, God, we know there are things we don't see, but we believe. Mm-hmm. We know there are things we don't understand, but we believe. We know, Lord God, that there are things at work right now, but we do not get or see them, but we believe.
Well, there's also an element of doing things God's way and not trying to figure it out ourselves and not trying to come up with a formula or a plan that was just inherent in the way that God did the manna. Things that maybe you try to reason it out and say, well, you know what, I've got some things I want to do tomorrow, so today I'm going to collect some extra. That way I won't have to collect any tomorrow, you know.
Well,
and God said, no, don't do it that way. And then, you know, when you start to say, okay, well, then that's fine. Then I'm going to get up every morning, and I'm going to collect it, and I'm going to trust God, and day after day after day after day. But he said, up on the Sabbath, you're going to do it differently. You're going to. So there's just an element of believing God, yes, trusting God, and doing it his way,
well,
and not our own way by our own reason.
And that's why God said to them, I'm using this to test you. Because there comes a point in what God is going to do. It was true with Israel, and it's true in these last days of the last days.
Yes,
we're talking
much
about the ark that God has here. There comes a point where God can't wait and see if you're going to do it his way. He has to know you're going to do it his way. He has to know that you're going to trust him. He has to know that he doesn't have to, you know, give great signs, that you're just going to do it because you believe. Mm-hmm. He has to know that at some point. And right now, that's where God has us here at the City on the Hill. God has spoken to us and confirmed supernaturally over and over about there's an ark here. There's an ark. There's an ark, and I want to invite you, because time is short, people. Mm-hmm. Time is short, and we're not going to just open the doors and say, hey, you come do you, you be you, you do your journey. No, you want to come do it the way God is speaking here, then you can come and be a part of the ark. But there comes a point where God says, okay, I'm testing you now with this manna, to see if I can see what's in your heart, to see what's in your heart, to see if you believe. Are you going to do it my way? Mm-hmm. And even after they saw the manna, the Bible says there were still people, even though it was from heaven and supernatural, it says there were still people that went out and tried to get more than they were supposed to because they didn't trust God. Same thing is true today. The City on the Hill is an ark, or has an ark, and we're going to trust God every step of the way. I pray that you come to be a part of it. Just to kind of wrap it up, you know, it's this entire story that we were just talking about. I talked about it again on Wednesday, but the entire story of manna from heaven is interesting, because clearly the Bible says God sent manna from heaven. We know that. But we also know that that ultimately was not God's final plan, because the Bible says the day they stepped into the promised land, the manna ceased. The manna ceased. And so we can't get so caught up in the manna that we forget the plan.
Right.
And the plan is for God to have an exclusive people that he can trust because they trust him. That's the plan. The plan isn't to hold up the man. Oh, look, we got manna from heaven. God says, no, that's a part of the plan to get you to where I ultimately want you to be. And we're not waiting for a promised land here that is geographical in any way. We're waiting for a promised land that is eternity with the Lord.
Right.
That's what we're waiting for. And this ark is a vehicle for God to have a separate people so that the end times, the last days of the last days, can be fulfilled. So again, I hope that this talk has encouraged you and opened your eyes. But at the end of the day, at some point, you just have to believe. God has given us sign after sign, but you have to believe. You have to believe. Well, praise the Lord. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, we're going to be here at the table of the Lord starting our service.
Yes.
And I encourage you to be waiting there at the table of the Lord for what God is going to begin to do during that time at 11 a.m. Sunday morning. Remember all the other opportunities you have. Next Wednesday night at 7, daily on our Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And we've got things on there all the every evening. Every evening at 8 o'clock, check it out and see what new things that we have put up there. Reach out to us. We love you. We hope to see you soon. God bless you.